Welcome, one and all, to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be back with you. We are here with you on Tuesday, December 29th, and it is another very interesting, but this time a bit more unfortunate, a day to talk about Grizzlies basketball. We'll get into all the details from a very eventful, both for positive and negative reasons, Monday night for the Grizzlies, as they did get their first victory of the season, but unfortunately it did come at immense cost. And we'll get into all the details in just a second. For the show, you can find myself at StatsSAC. You can, or the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to the show. We ask that you do listen, subscribe, review. You know, let us know what you feel about the show and what content you might like to be discussed. We always want to make sure that the content that is delivered here meets our listeners' preferences. And my name is Sean Coleman. If you are a new listener to the show now that the season is here, it's a pleasure to have you. I love doing this because the NBA, the Grizzlies sports in general are passions of mine. I've been doing, you know, writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues for about 2.5 years now, podcasting for about 2 years, been here as the host for about 6 months. And the reason I enjoy doing it is not only because it's a passion of mine, but it allows for me to interact on a consistent basis with others who share the passions that I do. And in this show, we're going to talk about the team that we are passionate about, and that is obviously the Memphis Grizzlies. In the first segment, we're going to dive deep into what the injury to Ja Morant means. Just an unfortunate turn of events, though, in general, the overall expectation of Ja's recovery time and the injury that he's dealing with certainly is a best case scenario. It's certainly better than many of us thought when he initially got injured last night. We'll discuss Ja in the first segment of the show. In the second segment, we'll discuss the victory over the Nets, the positives and the negatives that certainly were there for the Grizzlies and what they can build upon after their first win of the season. And in the third segment, we'll look at how the lineups and rotations, especially the lineups to start the game and to end the game, might look now with another star, our main star, Ja Morant, you know, not being available for the foreseeable future. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. As great as the win last night was, it's getting kind of frustrating that after every Grizzlies game, we've got to talk about it being bittersweet. The first game of the season, Ja Morant has a historic game for a player his age, has his career game, but the Grizzlies unfortunately lost. Last Saturday, the Grizzlies game against the Hawks, Kyle Anderson continues to emerge in his healthy status, really stepping up his game, and the Grizzlies unfortunately lost. Well, last night, the Grizzlies come together with a great second half, clear improvement on the defensive end of the floor. They did win, but of course it comes at the cost of Ja Morant's injury. So it's just getting frustrating talking about, you know, these Grizzlies games in a bittersweet tone. But, you know, such is the life as a Grizzlies fan. But of course, you know, the big moment last night was in the second quarter. Ja Morant defending, you know, against the Nets. He went up. Can't remember if he went up to either block a shot. He jumped up to make a play on the ball and unfortunately landed on the foot of a Nets player and wound up, you know, it seems like he severely sprained his ankle. At first, there was a wide variety of, you know, potential injuries that we thought may have occurred. He certainly did look very bad. Ja could put no pressure on the foot. He was hobbling and hopping off the court and then, of course, got immediate medical, you know, attention. He clearly was in pain. It obviously led to him being put in a wheelchair and wheeled off to go be looked at the locker room. But thankfully, there was a quick, I won't say diagnosis because we're still awaiting the MRI to come through today. But there was a quick, you know, basically analysis of what had occurred. They determined that it was a left foot sprain. The x-ray showed it was a left ankle sprain. The x-ray showed that there was no fracture at this time. Of course, we're waiting to see what the MRI says. But the thing about it is this, is that, you know, Ja Morant, you know, he came out in one of those casts, I believe it was an air cast for his leg. You know, the clear sign is that, you know, even if the injury is something that's to his ankle, it's a sprained ankle, it's not considered a long-term injury, it's clear that Ja Morant is not going to be available for the foreseeable future. And that, of course, is a huge blow for the Grizzlies. But it's not just a blow for the Grizzlies. It's a blow for the NBA. I mean, Ja Morant is clearly one of the, is emerging as one of the most valuable brands in the NBA. Not just because of what he does on the court, but also because of what he does off it. And any stretch where you don't get to enjoy that as both a Grizzlies fan and as an NBA fan, it's frustrating. It's absolutely, you know, it's definitely not what you want to see. But unfortunately, that's where we are. But in terms of what it means to the Grizzlies on the court, it means everything. I mean, Ja Morant coming into this game through the first two games of the season was averaging 36 points and 8 assists tonight. That equates to nearly 55 points in production that directly comes from Ja Morant. The Grizzlies themselves were averaging around 120 points. I believe that they now are averaging around 120 exactly points on the season. And Ja Morant was responsible for 55 points of that in games 1 and 2. That means that one source, one player on your roster, was directly impacted nearly 45% of the offensive production for your team, and now you're going to be without that player. It's a huge blow to Memphis. Morant is obviously the Grizzlies' best player. He was playing at an all-star level, and his ability to close out in the fourth quarter also allowed the Grizzlies to at least stay within striking distance during their first two games. So losing Morant is definitely a huge blow, especially to a team that that emphasizes so much on playmaking and getting to the rim and being able to produce in the paint. That's the other big thing about this Grizzlies roster that sometimes may be overlooked, is that it was constructed in a way that it supports Ja's game so well. Ja's strengths are getting to the rim, it's his athleticism, and it's his playmaking. Well, of course, the Grizzlies' strengths as a team are their ability to produce in the paint and to pass the ball. Well, now, without Morant's ability to get to that free throw line and either find ways to get to the rim for layups, utilize his floater, or pass out to his teammates to get high percentage looks, that takes a big part of the Grizzlies' offense away as well. But it's not only his ability to score himself, it's also the overall playmaking aspect of things, what he does for the other Grizzlies' ability to pass. Without Ja Morant and DeAnthony Melton now for an extended period, though Melton could come back in time, the Grizzlies are going to be without a duo that was expected to provide 10 or more assists. They had reliably produce 10 or more assists per game, you know, over Taylor Jenkins' stretch as being the head coach. That is a huge, huge loss for the Grizzlies and Taylor Jenkins, because the production of assists is so critical to this team's success. Coach Jenkins now has coached 76 games in his career with the Memphis Grizzlies. In the 46 games that the Grizzlies have produced 26 or more assists, they are 26-20. In the 30 games that the Grizzlies have produced 25 or less assists, they are 9-21. If the Grizzlies are not producing a significant amount of assists, their offense becomes stagnant. Their offense a lot of times becomes too inconsistent for them to become competitive. And now you lose your main source of that playmaking without really having, you know, a reliable source to really help make that up. Yes, Tyus Jones is a phenomenal, you know, point guard, but he also is a point guard that you likely need to limit to 15-20 minutes a game because of his defensive liabilities. Now, he may come in, get 7 or 8 assists tonight, which would be great, but you already were expected 4 to 5 from him each night. You're going to have to rely on other players like Grayson Allen, Desmond Bane, and things such as that. Young players who have not really had experience at the point guard level, you're going to be relying on them to provide that playmaking as well. So obviously the injury to Ja Morant on so many different levels is so impactful when it comes to the Grizzlies' ability to produce. And just to be honest, without Morant, the expectations for this roster, it's going to be hard to expect for them to win, because Morant's ability was featured in so many of this team's strengths that you're not going to be able to replicate it. And at some point, without Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Justice Winslow, and DeAnthony Melton, there's only so much less talented players can do to try to make up for the production of more talented players to stay competitive. I'm not saying the Grizzlies are going to go, you know, without a win until they get Morant and Justice Winslow and all of them back. I'm just saying that it's going to be harder to consistently win because you're missing so much talent. But obviously, you know, we're going to await the results from the MRI today. The initial you know, the initial findings are definitely promising. I would imagine, you know, as a matter of fact, I can pretty much guarantee that just like their approach with Jaren Jackson Jr. in the past, Brandon Clark in the past, and now Jaren and Justice again, the Grizzlies are not going to rush Ja Morant back. I mean, even if we start to hear reports that Morant, you know, may have an injury that may typically last 2 to 4 weeks to fully heal, it's likely going to be, I would be surprised that unless it's just a common ankle sprain, I could easily see the Grizzlies not, you know, Morant not being back into the lineup until after Valentine's Day. I'm not saying that anything's been reported. I'm just saying with this type of injury, it seems like the Grizzlies will take their time in making sure that Ja Morant is 100%. Because for a player like Morant and his skill set and how much impact his athleticism has on his overall, the overall effectiveness of his game, one thing that you do not want to do is you do not want to have him come back too early and then his injury potentially be one that lingers or potentially be one that really kind of, you know, keeps him from being able to be at full strength. And so the Grizzlies are not going to take any chances. They're going to make sure he's more than 100% healthy, and I think that you could be looking at 4 to 6 weeks at least for him to be out. Maybe sooner, could be longer. It's kind of up in the air right now. But the main point is that with the injury that occurred and with the fact that it could be a lingering injury if it's not taken care of up front, I think the Grizzlies are going to take, you know, all the time in the world to make sure their franchise player is healthy. And it's going to be a shame that we don't get to see him at the level that he was played, but I would much rather the Grizzlies be cautious and be smart with this injury than try to rush him back, you know, for any type of pursuits that this year may provide. But so with Ja Morant out for the entire second half last night, the Grizzlies faced a task to where they were going to have to band together without their best talents and find a way to win. And that's exactly what they did. Coming up, I'm going to discuss the Grizzlies' victory last night, some things that certainly improved, but also some continuing trends that could make life difficult for the Grizzlies as they continue to face better competition going forward. Are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clearer. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. We're in week 17 now of the NFL season, and while so many matchups are going to determine playoff decisions, there also is not only a place for you to enjoy the games, but also to profit. BetOnline.ag has some great lines to check out to give you an opportunity to win some monies. Also, we're getting into the more exciting bowl games of the college football season. Plenty of exciting matchups, but also a lot of factors that could help you win some money besides just enjoying the games when it comes to the specific lines in these specific matchups. BetOnline.ag is a great resource not only for you to profit, but also for you to really be able to make the most of your college football experience. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks expert. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG on Twitter to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code Locked On for your sign up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. Betting on the Memphis Grizzlies doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. And the great thing about it is that the new Locked On Bets show from Locked On, from the Locked On Podcast Network, it's not just focused on, you know, what could the Grizzlies do and do not do in their games. It's a great source to help you overall find the best opportunities to profit each day when it comes to sports. So check out Locked On Bets today. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So as we discussed in the first segment, obviously the injury to Ja Morant was, you know, devastating to see. And it's going to be, you know, just devastating is the right word to say. The loss of Ja Morant naturally in terms of what he meant to the Grizzlies and means in the present and moving forward. This Grizzlies team is just a much different team. They're a completely different team without Ja Morant and for not good reasons, to be honest, just because of how much that takes away from them, from their ability to consistently play to their strengths. I know Peter Edmonston and others had shared some numbers to where, you know, the Grizzlies, when Ja is off the court, it is absolutely eye-opening how much of a disadvantage they are with Ja off the court. And unfortunately, that's going to be the case for the foreseeable future. But the thing about it is this, is that the great thing about the win last night is that knowing that their leader and knowing that their best player was off the court, the Grizzlies immediately banded together and they were able to find a way to win. And they were able to find that way to win by improving in the areas where they had clearly been weak in the previous two games. Now, obviously, their success last night begins with Kyle Anderson. I believe 28 points and 7 assists from Kyle Anderson, coming off 20 points and 14 rebounds in his previous game against Atlanta. In back-to-back games, he not only tied a career high in points and then set a career high in points, he also set a career high in rebounds against Atlanta and then came back and set a career high in three-pointers in a game against the San Antonio Spurs. Basically, what I'm getting at is that we had talked about in the offseason, you know, is Kyle Anderson any type of a fit for Taylor Jenkins' system? How likely is it that he'll find success? Does he make more sense as a trade piece? And I'll admit, I was the same way because it was hard to expect for Kyle Anderson's game to meet Taylor Jenkins' preferences. But the thing that Kyle has mentioned himself and that we talked about in the preseason and me and Mark even talked about during the summer was that Kyle seemed to be emerging as a three-point shooter. And as he was getting healthier and he was getting the fluidity back in his body for him to be able to recreate consistently the shooting form that brings him success, you now see how much that's paying off with his ability to shoot the 3-4-for-8 from 3 last night, and now he is showing a higher ability to both score and produce all around, and it could not come at a more critical time than right now. But as great as Kyle Anderson's offense was, in my opinion, the big thing that stood out in the 116-111 win over the Nets last night was the Grizzlies' defense, especially at the end of the game. And it wasn't just Kyle. Kyle played a big role. Kyle's defense on Caris LeVert in the final two sessions of the game in which he made LeVert take a contested three-point shot as LeVert was trying to help the Nets win, those were not high-percentage shots, exactly what the Grizzlies have got to do on a consistent basis to have a chance with the talent out that they have, and Kyle stepped up to the equation and helped out. But another big key from last night that really stood out was Jonas Valanciunas' rim protection. Not only did he limit DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen from having big games with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant out, he was able to protect the rim on a consistent basis, which caused the Nets the inability to be able to get good looks at the rim and really allowed for the Grizzlies to step up, you know, as they were able to get back, you know, not only get back into the game, but also, you know, tie the score, and then obviously win in overtime. The Grizzlies limited the Nets to 21 points in the fourth quarter. They allowed the Nets to only score 26 points in 17 minutes of action from the fourth quarter on, and just was a phenomenal performance. But Jonas Valanciunas' ability at the rim was certainly a big development. Another huge development was the reemergence of Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark looked like him old self last night. The pogo sticks, the bounciness that he has in his legs, where his ability to just jump above his competition certainly was there. There were a couple of offensive possessions he kept alive that allowed for 4 points to be scored when it was unexpected that they would be. There was a big putback that he had towards the end of the game. There was also the situation in which he, you know, on the perimeter, one-on-one, that one-on-one defense that Coach Taylor Jenkins has been talking about. We saw it with Kyle Anderson limiting Caris LeVert at the end of the game. Brandon Clark did it a few times, especially on Chris Chioza when it came to outside shots that prevented the Nets from getting a good look, but he also had a big deflection. So it was the Grizzlies' defense, their one-on-one defense in high-leverage situations that helped them out, but it was the team defense as well overall. They, on 42 three-point attempts, the Nets only made 14 of them. That was a big development. Though the Nets did start off hot, at one point they were 8 for 17, they were only, if that's the case, they were only 6 for their last 25 from 3. And that was a big development for the Grizzlies as they were trying to find their offensive flow without Ja Morant. So the Grizzlies did a great job of limiting the Nets from 3. But the biggest stat of all that stands out to me was after allowing 38 and 29 free throw attempts, where the Grizzlies, you know, significantly gave up more free throw attempts than they attempted on their own, alone. This game against the Nets, the Grizzlies only gave up 17 free throw attempts. And this was against the team in the Nets who, coming into this game, their bench was leading the NBA in free throw attempts. But the Grizzlies had 29 free throw attempts of their own, only gave up 17, and that was the big difference in the game that the Grizzlies won by 5. So the defense really stepped up, and it showed that this team does have the capability in a situation where they know for them to have any type of success, anywhere close to the success that they want going forward, they're going to have to play team defense, and it really made the difference last night. And if that type of defense consistently steps up, that could earn the Grizzlies a few unexpected wins as they try to stay afloat without their best stars. But the other thing that we saw, besides the defense last night, was the offense start to get a bit better as time went on last night in the second half. Obviously, the contributions of Kyle Anderson and Brandon Clark really stepped up, but we also saw some interesting lineup combination. We've seen some very interesting lineup combinations. As Taylor Jenkins has mentioned, he's been experimenting with different looks. In the third segment, I'm going to discuss how the rotations, how the lineups, especially to start the game and end the game, could look with the Grizzlies' main starts out, but to give the Grizzlies the best chance to win with their main stars out, what lineups make the most sense at different parts of the game? We'll discuss that here in a moment. Talked about it all year, the great product that is Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the versatile addition to your day that not only adds health benefits, but allows for you to have it at breakfast. You know, you can have it in the morning at breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack, before and after a workout. However you choose to enjoy it, Built Bar is certainly a great addition to your day. And what makes a product remain great is the support and the creativity from the staff that created it in the first place. And that's what you've got over at Built Bar. You already had 12 great flavors to choose from. Now you've got 18. That's correct. There are 6 new great flavors over at BuiltBar.com that you can choose from when it comes to your preferences. Also, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you have the same great offers that we've given to you in the past. But this time, you can get a free cooler. While supplies last, if you go to BuiltBar.com and you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you not only get 20% off your order of Built Bar, but you get a free cooler while supplies last. And the thing I can tell you is this, is that the moment that you add Built Bar to your daily routine, it's going to be there to stay. That's how great of a product it is and how great of a tasty treat it can be for you to enjoy in any part of the day that you may choose. But again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and get 20% off your order for Built Bar and also a free cooler while supplies last. East meets West in Locked On Tuesday, NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, talk the biggest NBA stories of the day, coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. On tomorrow's episode of Locked On Grizzlies, I'll be glad to welcome back site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullinax. We will be discussing, obviously, the injury to Ja Morant, what it will mean for the Grizzlies roster, as well as the emergence of Kyle Anderson, and what will the Grizzlies do going forward in their backcourt to make up for the loss of Morant. All that coming up on Wednesday's episode with site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joe Mullinax. And that's really what's going to be interesting coming up in the near future for the Grizzlies without Morant and, of course, Justice Jaren, DeAnthony Melton, critical components that were so impactful on the Grizzlies' success last year. Well, at least besides, Winslow, who, we still have not been able to see, but hopefully we'll be able to see in time. Now, that's going to be a big development for the Grizzlies now, is that without Morant and without Jaren Jackson, how quickly can DeAnthony Melton and Justice Winslow come back into the fold? Because the one thing that those two bring, they bring a bit of playmaking ability to support Tyus Jones. The biggest thing about the loss of Morant, as I mentioned in the first segment, is this roster is now significantly limited when it comes to clear areas of playmaking outside of Tyus Jones. You could see Desmond Bane, you saw Grayson Allen on a few possessions last night, they ran the point guard opportunity, but we saw how this Grizzlies roster overall struggled without a secondary playmaker, without someone besides Ja Morant on the court to be able to create plays and get consistent offense. We also saw from the numbers that I mentioned in the second half that others have mentioned, the Grizzlies really, really struggled when Ja Morant was off the court. And it's not just because of his scoring, it's because of his playmaking. So the Grizzlies are going to have to consistently find sources of playmaking ability, and that's going to have to take other players stepping up besides Tyus Jones. But the way that we should, will likely see the rotations work as far as Ja Morant being out, or something to this effect. Obviously, Tyus Jones is going to step into the starting lineup, and he's probably going to be playing 30 to 35 minutes a game so that the Grizzlies can have a consistent floor general ball handler and playmaker in the game. Now, that's a positive because of what it does for the offense. You at least have an efficient source leading the offense, but the thing about it is that he's not so efficient when it comes to defense. It's going to take other players stepping up. But alongside Tyus Jones, you know, there's several different ways the Grizzlies could go. One lineup that really stood out to me last night, and I think that this may be the lineup that you could see Memphis start to utilize late in games and could be their starting lineup, is you have Tyus Jones at the point guard position, Dylan Brooks at the two, Kyle Anderson at the three, Brandon Clark at the four, and Jonas Valanciunas at the five. I think that that's the Grizzlies' best lineup right now. With Clark and Brooks and also Anderson, that really allows for you to have three capable defenders, both on the perimeter and in the inside, to move around and, you know, try to contest as many shots and disrupt the offensive flow for the opposition as possible. Plus, you've got Valanciunas at top as the rim, and you can, at the very least, if Tyus is not making a lot of direct impact defensively, he can at least get the ball when the Grizzlies do make a stop and push it up the court. So I think the lineup of Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, and Jonas Valanciunas may be the Grizzlies' best lineup. I think that that's probably going to be the lineup we're going to see closing the game a lot of times. But Brandon Clark may not necessarily start so that the Grizzlies have some sort of continued relevance from their bench unit without Tyus Jones a part of that unit anymore. So what that could mean is that we could see the starting lineup of Tyus Jones. Basically, Tyus Jones replaces Morant in the starting lineup. And you've got Jones, Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas. Now, that lineup with Morant actually was very advantageous. I don't necessarily think it keeps up that level. It's not going to, you know, with Tyus Jones replacing Morant. But you at least know that the chemistry between those four other players have certainly been there and created an advantage of times for the Grizzlies. But Grayson Allen did struggle at times last night. And Desmond Bane, in my opinion, probably offers a bit more upside. I think he's a more versatile and better shooter and probably is a better playmaker and rebounder as well. So I do think that you could see Desmond Bane get expanded minutes. But at the end of the day, I think that the lineup that you're going to see, you know, the two lineups that you'll see as potential starting options are Jones, Grayson, Brooks, Anderson, and Valanciunas, or Jones, Brooks, Anderson, Clark, and Valanciunas. I think that those are the two lineups that are probably going to get the most run at times when it comes to the Grizzlies. And then off the bench, you're likely going to see, obviously, more rotations with Vintage for John, or for Desmond Bane. Gorgui Dieng, obviously, is just naturally going to have to play because of the Grizzlies' overall lack of depth in the front court due to injuries right now. And then John Contra and others are going to have to step up and be available as well. You're likely going to see the Grizzlies limited to 9 or 10 players for the near future when it comes to their games. And as they start to get Melton and they start to get Justice back, that certainly would be wonderful. That certainly will go a long way, especially to help out their playmaking ability. But I do think that you're going to see an expanded role for Brandon Clark. We're going to see him in the starting lineup. That is the, you know, nothing is positive about Ja Morant's injury. But the one thing that it does provide is it provides expanded opportunity. It's going to allow, I think, for the Grizzlies to get a better understanding of how the hierarchy of their backcourt next to Tyus and Morant should be once those players come back. It's going to allow for them to see, can Kyle Anderson consistently keep up the production that he's shown? And it's going to show if Brandon Clark, you know, he struggled to start the season, but last night showed that he was getting a bit healthier. What can he do in an expanded role as well? While you certainly never want to lose your best player, one thing that comes from that is opportunities from other players who you may be less certain about in terms of what can their potential be on this team. Well, the Grizzlies are going to have every opportunity to get that understanding about players such as Clark, about players such as Brooks, Desmond Bane, John Contra, and others, really seeing what the potential of these players could be in expanded roles. At the end of the day, the victory for the Grizzlies last night was huge. It proved to this team They can play together and they can be productive without their best talents. It also let them know that they certainly can execute on defense if they play together. And it allowed for, you know, Kyle Anderson to have another game, you know, of just, you know, really, really good production. Basically being at the highest level of production he's been in his career. Plus, it allowed for Brandon Clark and Tyus Jones to kind of get back to feeling some success so they may be able to be more consistent going forward. So the opportunity is now there more than ever for these talents that you know what they can do, but you want to have a better idea of what they can do with their role or to expand. That is one positive that comes from this. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing going forward for Memphis, obviously, is the health of Ja Morant. And if that means he's going to be out an extended period of time, you know, so be it. In a year in which there's not a lot of expectations, as we mentioned, there's really no bad outcome for the Grizzlies. Take all advantage that you can of not only allowing for him to be as healthy as possible, but when he comes back, he's going to be effective as possible. If that means that the Grizzlies are in a position where they can still make a playoff run, great. If not, at the very least, if it allows for Morant to continue to develop his game, either way, both outcomes are certainly beneficial for Memphis. Thank you so much for listening to us here at the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast. Please do, and let us know, subscribe, let us know what you think of the show. As I mentioned, Joe Molinax of Grizzly Bear Blues site manager, he will be with us for tomorrow's episode talking about all the different developments that have occurred over the past week. Really looking forward to talking to him. Always great insight. And we will be back with you also. I hope that you enjoyed the Nitty Gritty Grind session, that preview for the Nets. Again, may not do it every game, but probably will do it for the Celtics games tomorrow. But we'll also be back with you Thursday to discuss, obviously, the Celtics game and how the team looked without Ja and others, you know, being available. My name is Sean Coleman. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.